Talk with Mark Hodges, Oklahoma Wheat Commission. Mark, let's talk a little bit about this 2008 harvest that really is starting to pick up some steam now. We're getting a couple of, we've had a couple of good days of harvest now, and you've had a chance to get out and see some of the things that are going on in that southwestern corner of the state. What are you noticing? What are some of the early trends you're really picking up at this point?
Well, of course, there is some really good wheat down there. We were slow in getting this harvest started. We did a lot of test cutting for several days and just really couldn't get rolling. But, last few days, the wind and the humidity's gone down. The winds are there, which we really need during harvest. We've got sunshine. So it's really helped us. And, of course, probably the thing that stands out the most at this point are the test weights, because they are phenomenal. Running generally 61 to 65 pounds per bushel, probably the most predominant I hear when I'm in an elevator and trucks are coming through is a 62 to 63 pounds, and that's fantastic. That's great. We're glad we've got that. What that indicates to me is that we had perfect grain fill weather, and we looked at a lot of wheat that definitely three berries to the mesh were filled. In some cases, four berries to the mesh. And a lot of times when you get that fourth berry, and any, a lot of times even with the third berry, if you have some adverse conditions, you'll end up with some shrunken kernels. And we just aren't seeing any. I've been in a lot of elevators, and shrunken kernels is not a problem. Again, I lay that back to that perfect grain fill weather we had. And that's going to affect the final yield, and I don't have a clue right now. I'm probably more clueless right now than I've ever been about what the final numbers are going to be on this crop. But we are encouraged just because we aren't seeing those shrunken kernels, and when you start filling especially that fourth berry on a consistent basis, it makes a world difference in the yield, and, of course, these test weights make a world difference in the yield as well, the final numbers in the yield.
Now, as we think about this year's harvest, this is a nervous time of the year. We've had some farmers that have lost the crop because of hail that's moved through. How many acres do you think we've really lost due to hail over the last 2-3 weeks?
Well, we have lost some acres to weather, whether it's hail or wind and rain. But again, it's probably mainly hail. We have lost some acres, and, of course, it could be much worse, and we're thankful we don't have any more losses than we do. Of course, that doesn't help those producers that were hit because, I mean, it's in strips 2 or 3 miles wide and sometimes 4, 5, 10 miles long. It's significant, and it's significant to those producers because, obviously, most of their operations are in one area, and so if they got hit, they got hit very hard. And some areas I've looked at, it's not just 5 or 10, 15%, 50% hail damage. It's a total loss because if they're hit, it just flattened it. And some of those fields I've looked at, when I was driving by, I had to wonder whether it was wheat because I really couldn't tell because not only was it flat, it had been there was a lot of wind with it so that the straw got twisted. And, I mean, you had to stop and look at it to see if it was really wheat.
Hmm. When we think about where we are right now, what sort of timeline? The weather will play the major role in this, but what is the timeline potentially as we move out of that southern third of the state?
Well, of course, the two varieties that mature the quickest that we're really harvesting right now in the bulk of the state are Jagger and Overly. And that's going to continue to be the case as we move northward. Some of those other varieties are still a little green, to be honest with you, and it'll be a few more days before they mature. So really it's those earlier varieties that we're harvesting at this point. But I think we're on track for a normal harvest. We may be just a shade ahead right now. But again, it will depend on weather conditions. And again, if we can keep some wind, sunshine, lower humidities, this harvest will go pretty fast.
Are these the northern half of the state, are we pretty well done with some berry, filling those berries at this point?
We are done. We in most areas I've looked at, maybe with the exception of the panhandle, we are at physiological maturity. We've accumulated all the dry matter we're going to accumulate, and so now it's just a matter of dry down. And that's very, very fortunate because I've also looked at a lot of areas north of I-40 that have rust, and especially Jagger, Jagaline, those two more specifically, really do have a lot of rust on them. There's still some green plant material there, but we are at physiological maturity, and it's, for the most part, it's a matter of dry down. So I'm not going to say it didn't hurt yield, but, you know, it could have been a lot worse because, again, I go back to that 3 to 4 berries to the mesh I've looked at. Those are very, very plump berries, which indicates to me it had time to go ahead and do the filling.
Right.
Yeah, you've obviously got you know, your training is in agronomy, and so you can look at these plants and really kind of analyze some of these things that are going on. Did it surprise you this year, Mark, that we didn't have more problems because of all the acres that were never harvested last year and all that junk that was left over?
Yeah, you know, I think a better characterization instead of surprise, maybe shocked. It's unbelievable to me that we could have a lot of fields that had broadleaf weeds 10, 12 foot tall, grasses in those fields. They all went to seed. We had a lot of straw. We had a lot of volunteer. You know, we had acres and acres and acres in central Oklahoma that never got harvested, but there was still viable wheat seed there. I just knew volunteer was going to be a problem, and when volunteer really becomes a problem, it's from disease and insect harboring standpoints. We just haven't seen it, and we're very blessed and thankful that we haven't seen it, but it shocks me that we haven't seen some of the ramifications of that. You know, in addition to that, we've looked at a lot of fields that have fairly high yield potential, which in some cases were unbelievable early on. But that is, in some cases, some of that volunteer that came up in the row with the seed, even if it's not in between the rows. And, you know, in a quote-unquote normal grain fill year, and I go back to these grain fill conditions, but in a normal grain fill year, a lot of those plants and those tillers wouldn't ever made it because they would have just burned up simply because it was too thickly planted and or volunteer there. That wasn't the case this year, and, of course, we are seeing, again, a lot of potentially good yields with good berry size, a lot of potential there because we did have that perfect grain fill weather, so we didn't have the sloughing off or the dying of the tillers that we normally would have seen.
Now, Wheat Commission, you're charged, obviously, not only with working with OSU on some of these research areas and trying to help develop these new varieties and whatnot, but also the promotion side. This is a month that we've got some trade teams, June, July, some trade teams coming through this part of the world, and Oklahoma will be one of their destinations.
It will be, and, of course, the ones that come to mind initially, of course, we've got some very, very good Mexican customers that come up and look at the crop. We also have, in the month of June, we have a Brazilian group coming through Oklahoma, a group of seven. We don't normally sell a lot of wheat into Brazil, but they want to look at the quality and the quantity, which tells me that they're extremely interested. We also have a group from South Africa, which it's a group that, not the same individuals, but a group from South Africa we've had three times over the last 3 years. Again, they're very interested in the crop we have and what's going on with this crop. So, yes, we do have customers coming through, and, of course, with the short crop the last 3 years, there's not a lot of wheat in any elevator in Oklahoma. So this new crop is really the crop that they're going to be buying. So they are interested in what's going on with this crop.
What's the plan as far as working with Plains Grains on getting those quality samples and that profile of what the crop is really like?
Well, you mentioned that testing has already started in Texas, and we do test by grain shed, with a grain shed being defined as a facility that can ship at least 50 car, but up to 110 or shuttle trains, whatever the case may be, at least a shipping point where a customer can access that wheat based on a terminal point. And so we are testing on that basis. As I said, that testing's already started, and we've set a goal. We set a goal 2 years ago that 30 days from the time that sample hits the lab, we want the results back. And, of course, we're testing about 26 different parameters from wheat grade, non-grade, milling characteristics, dough characteristics, and bake test. And so we're running a lot of parameters for the customer to let him know where the wheat that best fits his mill or his customer base exists so he can access it on that basis.